in conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. This is, I think it's 102, Dan.
102.
Crikey, how are you doing?
Doing all right, thanks. How are you doing?
Yes, everything's under control. What have you been up to?
The usual. How was you? Were in Barcelona.
I was. It was very civilized and relaxing.
What did you do there?
We went. You know the. Hopefully, I'm going to pronounce this right. La Sagrada Familia.
La Sagrada Familia. Yes.
Oh, I knew I would be close. Well, we went to see it, and I was just really kind of mesmerized. That
it's incredible, isn't it?
You know, yeah. I mean, there's like 1880s that they started, maybe 1882 that this was starting to be built.
And they still haven't finished.
No, but it's going to be done, so they say, in 2026.
Is that right? Good.
Well, it puts the Jazz Podcast into perspective.
Oh, yes.
You know, in the Jazz Podcast, if you were to count episodes, let's say we do 50 a year. No, that's not true, is it? Let's go with 26 a year, roughly.
When did we start?
Maybe 2.5 years we've been doing this.
It was like February, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. February 2018. No, February 2017.
So we've been going 29 months. 29 months.
Okay, and 101 shows.
102 shows.
Oh, yeah, whoops. 102 shows divided 30, by...
35, is it?
So that,
35 a year.
Okay, I don't know how you got that number because my calculator came out at 4.8. So we'll call it 35 shows a year. Now, it's 2019 minus... 1882, so that's 137 years that this building has been being built, times by 35 shows. So if they'd started a podcast at the same time, it would now be episode 4,795.
There you go.
That doesn't seem like enough.
No, I think that would be enough.
Maybe enough for us, for the audience, bless their
definitely
souls.
For the audience.
Yes. So I met a lovely violinist, Matt Holborn, last week, who runs the Jazz Violin Podcast.
Oh, there you go.
I know, it makes us seem all broad and ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, that is a niche, isn't it? I mean,
that is.
He's I can't imagine there are that many jazz violinists, are there?
Well, that's how I felt, Dan. But it seems like there must be because there's 16 episodes released. They're one a month, and this show has been running for over a year as well since March 2018.
And he's got more listens than us, has he?
Well, I should think so.
Is it worth a listen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely play it. Have a listen. Might be better than this, in case this is wildly disillusioning.
It's hard to be, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. So I was going to say, oh, yeah, I've hit the big time since the last episode in so many
ways. You got
another
gig?
I got a gig. Yeah. I had a gig at the Manchester Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really cool.
I remember you saying, how did it go?
Yeah, it was great, actually. Alex Monk came and played. He was like the founding guitarist of my band with Elliot Galvin and John Ormston. But I since started playing it with Rob Luft, but it was so good to play with Alex again.
Oh, nice.
John Ormston's texted me at that exact moment because I forgot.
Conga Flange.
That's the one. Iconic PSN username. Now he has three kids. He's reduced to mobile phone games only.
Ah, poor guy.
It's a window into a horrible future.
May you rest in peace.
We love you, Conga Flange. So, I played at the Jazz Festival. It was really fun. My band's also been played on Jazz FM 3 or 4 times. I've been on BBC Radio 6 as well.
Wow, there absolute you go. The big madness. Time.
But it got me thinking, Dan, if you could replace me
Well, no, you could never replace you, Rob.
But let's say you have to. If you could make a super group instead of listening to my band, I thought we'd play this little game. Who you have to be alive, obviously, to be in the super group. Drums, right. Soprano, saxophone, piano.
Oh, can we change the lineup? You just said soprano, saxophone.
No, you can't.
No, that is a...
What about Wayne Shorter?
I just don't like the soprano.
You're really not? Wow.
No.
Well, you kept that one quiet.
No, I didn't. I've made it known that I don't really like saxophone before. I like the tenor, but...
I had no idea. You never said anything when I sent you the album.
I swear we've had a whole episode about me not liking the sax.
I know you didn't like the sax in general or sax players in general, but I didn't know it was a specific soprano distaste
Worst of them, isn't it, really?
Well...
It's like when you get jazz oboe. It's kind of on par with that. It just shouldn't. No. Just
you know what? I have an irrational pet hate for the cor anglais.
Yeah. I mean.
but
no, there is not. I'm not having. There is no super group with a soprano sax in.
Wow. This is not how I imagined this game would go.
But.
Well, what would you do then?
I just wouldn't have a sax.
Okay.
But the
fine.
Thing is, your band also doesn't have a bass player in, so.
So two things that you really enjoy in life, not saxophone and the bass.
Exactly.
And my album's got none of it.
Yeah.
I sent a copy to Steve Berry, a well-known bassist and alumni from episode 3, I think, and 4 or 5, one of the single digits. Anyway, Steve messaged me back being like, I can't believe you made me crowdfund a bassless quartet album. I never even thought of it. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I think I've ruined his life.
Why don't you like the bass? We need to address this.
Well, Dan, when I was at college, there just wasn't, in my undergrad degree,
yeah.
I was with John Ormston and with two other guys, Jack Davies and Tom Taylor, but there wasn't really a bassist that we were really into playing with, so we just played without one.
Yeah, well, I can see that when there isn't a bass player, but now that it's been, 10 years since you were at college?
Well, I then asked Tom McCready to join the band.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do the first gig that we had, or he lied to me because he didn't want to be in it and be associated with me. Either is fine. But I took it as a sign again. I was like, oh, if Tom doesn't want to...
Well, Tom isn't the only bass player in the world.
No, it was a long time ago. But I don't know if the kind of music, it's very freely improvised. Sometimes I wonder if I put a bass in, whether it would make
improve
it harder. I don't want to improve it. The one thing it's got going for it without bass is you can listen through rubbish, headphones and it doesn't affect it.
Yeah.
Super trebly. When I first sent it to, there's been a few people in the jazz media who have been like, what the hell is this? Where the hell's the bass player? What's going on here? Is this even jazz? It's a source of great confusion and upset for many.
Yeah.
The other great thing that happened to me, I played at Glen Eagles golf course on Saturday.
Nice. You played?
I played clarinet. No, I wouldn't be invited to play golf. I would be politely asked to leave or shot by one of the archery candidates. It's so posh. They've got the shooting range archery. You can go duck, not duck fishing, fly fishing. And if you catch a fish, the chef will cook it for you if you want.
Oh, nice. There you go.
I know. That's some good hotel experience if you want it. I feel like Americans are quite into that. They're always in the news for shooting things and killing things and hunting things.
It's part of their culture, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's for them,
Death.
Death and fish and getting it grilled.
Mm. Guns, anyway. I think it's probably what it is.
Yes. I remember Martin Hummel said to me once, the Americans, it's ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
And at the time I was like, Martin, I don't think that's the right. Oh, I see. Very, very slow moment.
Yep.
Anyway. So I played before Pat Cash and Greg Rosetsky played a little tennis match.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Very good.
What was the point? Why are we talking? Oh, yeah, someone recognized me from the jazz podcast. One of those, like, it was like a sitcom, you know, when I was like leaving the stage and then the musician came up to me and was like, hey, you're that guy that does the jazz podcast.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
Who was it? Give him a shout out.
Yeah, I don't. The problem is, Dan, I'm such a big time personality on the jazz.
You haven't got time to remember people's names.
No, not even a little bit. I do know, if you're listening, this dude, he was at the Royal Scottish Conservatoire in his second year studying saxophone. And I didn't get time to catch his name, but as I was whisked away by my bodyguards, I was shouting at him, you know, send me a Facebook invite, you know, let's have a chat. And he hasn't done it. So I know. So if you're out there, you know, did you ever read those newspaper clippings that's like to the saucy man on the 9:15? It's like that, but this is the audio version. Like
Lonely Hearts.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, dude. I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm like refreshing my Facebook friend, you know, requests every half hour here. And my heart pines for a simpler time.
Yeah. So who would your ideal band be then?
Yeah, I did, of course, think it all through.
Because let's be honest, it's not going to have John Ormston in it.
No, actually, no point did I consider I would keep my own band.
I love you, John.
Yeah.
You're not listening to this. You've got three kids. It's fine. I can say what I like.
He's in knee deep in nursery problems right now. So I thought about replacing myself with Wayne Shorter. That seemed like
a very obvious choice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if ever I can't make a gig, I'm pretty sure he'd be pleased to step in.
Yep.
Then maybe on piano, I'd quite like to take, you could have like John Escree or Brad Meldow, could be cool. Don't know about, maybe John Escree. And then, what have I got? Guitar, John Scofield.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Jack DeJohnette on the drums. I think that would be quite an interesting way to go. That'd
be a very interesting way.
They're very civilized. Kind of, maybe, I mean, Rob Luft is really good at the guitar. His first album, I'm so into it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd quite like to have like one young person to fly the flag, you know?
Yeah.
Bit like Gwilym Simcock in the Pat Metheny band, you know?
So yeah.
A plucky young Brit in there to ruffle.
You didn't want to put Gwilym in to make up for all of the faux pas in recording episodes, did you?
Oh, yeah. If you weren't aware already, I've deleted two episodes of Gwilym's by accident.
You've recorded two full podcasts with him and deleted them. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's recordings for about 6 months apart as well.
Oh, Rob.
I know. It's been going on so long because the first time it got deleted was before the show had even started airing. It was December 2016.
Yeah.
I did an interview in Lincoln on my old laptop and then the hard drive crashed. So that wasn't really my fault. And then the second time I was making the film about Richard Turner and, as I was downloading, I was like, you know, dubbing some video onto the hard disk and the hard disk space got filled up. And in a moment of panic, I tried to take off some, files and accidentally deleted the second episode we'd done having already gone back and groveled once. So.
Oh, you're a dick.
Yeah, I'm a terrible, terrible moron. And he's not the only person who's had a lost show and had to come back.
Who else?
Wendy Kirkland, bless her. Her show, the file corrupted as I stopped recording it. So we had to do the entire thing again as well.
Oh,
and I tell you what, a testament to Wendy's skills, the second show was better.
Yeah.
And that's really hard because I like to, as you like, you know, I like to be dangerously under-practiced and under-researched. So so that there's a genuine note of surprise when I find out anything at all about the guest. That kind of goes away when you do it, the whole thing, a second time. Yeah, so I've got a bit of a better system now. There are some duplicates, but still. Let that be a warning to you. If you think it's as simple as just coming on the Jazz podcast, you may have to do two or three interviews before we actually smart enough to air one.
Oh, dear.
I know, shocking. Also, Dan, I think it's time that we actually became, or we have become, a selective show.
Surely we're desperate enough, though, that we're not going to say no.
Well, yes. Maybe it's just a case of selecting the order.
Oh, okay.
I have been inundated with a lot of requests lately.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what my point is, really. It's not really a website you can apply on or anything.
Maybe we could, like, votes. No, people don't engage with us, do they?
No, there's no social media.
No, the last,
we've done a third competition, which Miguel Garini won by default.
Just because he entered.
Yep. And he actually put loads of effort into his answers. It was to win a copy of Tom Corley's album. Yeah. I didn't have the heart to tell him that he was the only entrant, especially not after all the effort he put into it. Like, you know, it was like naming the reason behind each of the track names of Tom's album, Catanasio, and why he'd named each track what he'd named it. And they're all football names and like niche things like Zona Mista, you know. Anyway, Miguel wrote a wonderful, basically an essay, like 1,000 words, for, you know, so I was like, oh, wow, Miguel, you've won. You've done so great. You've put all this effort in. He was well chuffed.
He was the only one.
That's great,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you make him pay postage?
I think Tom Corley will probably make him pay postage.
Good, okay.
So.
Oh, dear.
So, Dan, today, it's...
We've talked long enough. Let's get on with this.
Put this show out of its misery. Today is Bonsai Club, with their new album. In fact, B-O-N-S-A-I. The album is out on Ubuntu Records. It came out on the 31st of May, so you can just go and buy it right now. Ah, crumbs. I'm trying to find some information. You'd think I remembered it all. And then forgot everything. And now all I'm getting on the internet is pictures of bonsai trees. Okay, Bonsai, the album Bonsai Club. There's some cracking videos on YouTube as well, actually. They've done some great music videos. Dominic Ingham, Dom and Rory are on the show. Dom is a mega jazz violinist. I don't think he's been on Matt's Jazz Violin Podcast yet, but I think that is going to be in the offing big time now.
We've had one violinist, haven't we?
We've had Rich Jones.
Yeah.
One who Matt hasn't had on his show.
There you go.
Which is kind of amazing, I know. So we're going to listen to a tune. We'll check out Bonsai Club. This is Itchy Knee.
Itchy Knee. Great title.
Yeah. Very relatable. Dominic Ingham, hello. Welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, chaps?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
So let's talk about the album.
Yeah, so it's... So Bonsai are releasing an album called Bonsai Club.
Right.
And that's going to be out on the 31st of May, and we're really excited that... That will be released on Ubuntu Music.
Yeah.
A label which I think you've also recently signed to.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, we're as you know, Martin Hummel is such an amazing presence on the scene that we're so excited to be working with him and to have found him, and we're able to record this album, put this album out on his label. So we recorded it in July 2018, and we spent 5 days in the Giant Wafer Studios in Wales. And we were there with Alex Kilpatrick, which is a very, very, he's a great mixing engineer, and he engineered the recording session as well.
What had you like heard an album that inspired you to want to get Alex to be the guy that mixed it?
Yes, we heard an album that Big Bad Wolf put out.
Oh, I love that CD. Yeah,
yeah. And we thought, wow, that's incredible. And there's other things he'd done, some things with, Rob Luft and various people.
Have you heard Snow Poet?
Yes. Yeah, that was another.
Yeah.
And that was a good example of where Alex has obviously worked his magic.
Yeah.
we got to spend an awful lot of time with Alex.
Amazing.
We ended up mixing. Dom, how many days was it mixing? 12 days mixing.
Wow.
Which is, it was unexpected, but also very enjoyable.
Yeah. Carry on.
Well, I was just going to say we also did quite a lot of overdubs with Alex.
Yeah.
Like all the vocals on the album, which there is quite a lot, done within the mixing period. So actually there was a few extra days on top of that 12 to allow in for mainly the vocals, but also other bits and bobs, percussion. Although the percussion was recorded in the house I'm currently sat in, with Johnny Mansfield, the drummer.
Yeah.
Did all the percussion overdubs in this house.
Else did you find that would get you up to 12 days for mixing?
The synths.
Right.
Took yeah. but it was totally worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Because it completely changed the sound of the album. Well, that and the vocals, I think.
Yeah.
Added a lot and eventually made a sound that we didn't expect.
Oh, wow. So did you always intend to do loads of vocal and synth overdubs, or did it just kind of happen as you were working through it and mixing it?
Yeah, I think that with the synths, we kind of just realised that Alex was able to do that and had them in his studio.
Right.
We're not really that clued up on it, so he would we'd kind of explain the sort of thing that we wanted, and then he'd just go and mess around a bit, and then we'd say, yeah, we like that. The vocals, I knew that I wanted to do that, but I didn't want to. I was very aware of overpowering it.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy just to put vocals on everything, but actually it turned out all right.
How did you like pitch it to Martin to get him involved?
I think we went for a beer, which was very exciting, I thought.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of we eventually I learned more about him and then I'd sent him some tracks and he was really into it, and at this point we'd recorded the album, and it was quite hard to. I think he has a policy where he likes to hear the full album unless he's kind of signed on at the earlier stages. With us at least, he wanted to hear the full thing. Maybe that's not the case with other people. maybe he wasn't convinced. I don't know. Anyway, so at this point, we didn't have anything that was mixed to send him. I think this was back in October, and the mixing had been pushed back because it was. Alex Kilpatrick's so busy that we ended up not being able to do the mixing until 6 months after the recording, which is just kind of just how it turned out. Yeah. So all this, just when you think you've got lots of time, we started planning to do the album in probably November 2017.
Yeah.
And then arranging all the getting into the studio and all that stuff that takes so long, and locking down dates with the five of us. And so we didn't get in the studio until July 2018. And then it all kind of, I realized, well, it's a great learning curve for us, because with this only being our second album, there's a lot that we don't know. And in terms of kind of time scale of you know, how people work and how organized we need to be.
Yeah.
And as a collective, that's sometimes hard to kind of get our own organization together. We've all, there's five opinions, and it takes longer sometimes to kind of reach an answer.
Yeah.
Which working with Martin is, we've kind of discovered kind of more than in any other situation, where now there's another party involved, and it's important that, you know, to be able to communicate what we want.
Yeah.
You know, and hear about what he wants. And
so it's all written roughly like between the five of you, the album.
Roughly, but
there aren't any of my tunes on the album or Toby's, so it's just Dom, Joe, the bass player, and Johnny.
Yeah, this reminds me actually. Tell us who's in the band, because I forgot to ask already.
So we have Rory Ingham on trombone, Dominic Ingham on violin and vocals, Toby Como on keyboards and piano, Joe Lee on electric bass, and Johnny Mansfield on drums.
Nice.
But the album is kind of, there are more things.
Yeah.
With Johnny doing percussion and vibraphone as well. So, you know, happy with the album, and we're, we hope it reaches an audience that not only jazz, but also, a general music audience. The album includes all kinds of, you know, influences of kind of rock and indie rock. So we're kind of hoping that, and with the vocals, hoping that that will reach a greater audience.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, chaps, on a glorious, glorious album. It's a pleasure to listen to it. I'm going to play to finish. Let's have a listen to Hop, the Hip Replacement. Thank you. Well, Dan, that was Hop the Hip Replacement.
Good title again.
Yeah, Steamers. So, any plans this week?
This week, oh, I'm off to Copenhagen tomorrow.
Oh, nice. How come?
For a gig.
Oh.
Yeah, I've not been before. Have you?
I have, and it's really my spiritual home.
Oh, that's nice. Have you got any places I should go?
Mm, there's a lovely, like, round tower in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
It's like a big lighthouse, but you can walk up it. Up this great big slope, great views of the city. And there's also, it's a funny little, like, round, it's a bit like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but you can drive a little car up to the top if it's small enough.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
And once it goes dark, there's an astronomy a tower and a telescope at the top, so you can do, like, night viewings of the sky.
Nice.
The other thing is there's a really nice library, like a public library in the docks. You can go up to the top floor and get some lunch, you know.
Oh, you have to send me the address. I'll check that out.
Yeah, sounds cool. Lovely. Very Scandinavian, you know, like shipyard, but quite trendy. Yeah. The main reason it's my spiritual home is the meal times. It's like breakfast at 7, lunch at 11, dinner at 5.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Yeah, bed by 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the dark and the cold, I'm sure.
I guess, yeah, it's a bit further north, isn't it? Not much, though.
Exactly.
Must be honest, very similar.
It is, but it's a lot colder.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's hotter in summer, too. But I went to... I can't remember if we talked about this already. I went to Barcelona last week.
We mentioned it at the beginning.
Oh, we did! Yeah, well, I found that really stressful.
You didn't tell us much, but... Yeah.
I didn't.
You went to Sagrada Familia.
I did. You know...
Did you go to Gracia?
I'm sure I did. Let me just get on Google Maps and see. See, we did like a cycling tour. It's very civilized. What's my point? Oh yeah, lunch times in Spain, incredibly stressful. Like
they eat so late there as well.
Yeah, that's it's not. Yeah, exactly. Lunch is like 3 p.m. Dinner maybe 9 o'clock.
Oh no, like it's later than I remember when we lived there for a month and. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, we'd get to the restaurant at 9:30 and they wouldn't really be ready. And then we'd finished our meal maybe like 11:15 and people were just coming.
That just blows
my mind. It was crazy.
By that point, I'm like in a cold sweat of panic. That they're going to be like, who the hell's coming for dinner this late? Yeah. What are you doing? Yes, we did go to Gracia. We had a nice walk around there after Park Güell.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, lovely.
My favourite place.
Oh, sweet. Why?
Probably in the world.
Hmm. How come?
Oh, I just went there every day when we were there for a...
Amazing.
It was so good. Just love the feel of it. It's great restaurants.
Yeah, and the coffee.
Yep. Yeah, everything. Oh, the anchovies.
Oh, I didn't eat any anchovies.
Oh, I didn't eat any anchovies. Mm. I sent you a little PDF of things to do.
I know you did. I used it. I used it wildly. I'm going to go back and look at it again and tell you all the things that were on it that we did. I had a cortado while I was there poured over Nutella. Like a Nutella, you know, 2 centimeter thick Nutella slab.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, man. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, they love their cortados there.
Oh, God, I love them.
They're
so
like a euro 10. €1 10 for a cortado. Yeah, it's great.
Easily sink 8 or 9 coffees every day.
Oh, we would. So good.
Yeah. I want to go back. I like the Spanish, the culture.
It's great, isn't it?
It does feel good.
Well, it's Catalan, isn't it? Catalan culture.
Yeah, you're right.
They're good, very independent. Good
appropriate knowledge there.
Mm.
It's how I feel like London's going to be after Brexit. Like, it's going to just feel really disconnected from the rest of the UK.
Yeah. Oh, I don't
Want to... I know. I just dropped the B word.
I haven't read the news in about 4 months just because I get so down about it.
Do you know what? This is the same for me. I took my, you know, BBC News app, Apple News, all that stuff off my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I blocked myself from looking at it.
Oh, good work.
I'm a lot happier not looking at the news, I have to say.
I guess there's a limit. I remember there's a Billy Connolly joke about there's only so many f*** you can give.
Well, we're dropping F-bombs on jazz podcast.
Well, we dropped the B-word, so we might as well go all the way.
Well, I mean, there's quite a big difference.
Well...
beep that one out.
Yeah, maybe. If we ever had an editor, I could just not do it myself.
Because you'll have to mark it as, like, not appropriate.
I know, you either have to mark it with an E for explicit, which makes it look like porn, or bleep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... but it's true, you know, he's like, the joke is about watching the news all the time, and you're just like, oh God, when will it end? I might even see if I can find it.
Do it.
Let's see if we can get ourselves sued, because at least then we know someone's listening.
Sued? I don't want to be sued.
I feel like it's a big time, you know, show. If we need like jazz podcast lawyers in special suits with the logo on the front. That would be cool. I'd be well up for that. Maybe it's time.
Yeah, maybe.
Next week it's Kim Macari.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's lovely. I'm really excited.
I've not heard of Kim.
She's very interesting.
She plays
a really cool show. She plays the trumpet.
Okay.
She's the booking agent for the Vortex, so she's kind of programming that whole venue. She's sort of into music very similar to my album, you know, like spoken word in jazz. She's just much better than me at everything, so you know, she can like actually get gigs and play in venues and stuff. It's all beyond me, Dan, but I'm very impressed.
Okay, cool. I look forward to it.
Yeah. So I better go because I've actually just spilt a cup of tea all over the table.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but it's not dripping, so it's not an emergency.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's slowly seeping towards the edge. I reckon I've got another 25 seconds before.
Oh, mate, you run then.
All right, it's been a pleasure. You've been listening to the Jazz Podcast. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.